copy of these slides if you want. Since there's only, I got it down to 32. I'm going to pass this around. This is the one shot that I have. This was my beginning. This was a shot taken by Alex Wessling when he registered the David Cemetery and Find a Grave. And so that gives you an idea of where we started. I have a good shot from 2 days ago. But basically the burials were from 1836 to 1871. It's over in Jackson Township. There are very few cemeteries in Jackson Township. It's roughly, the farm that it sits on is at 500 North and 225 West. Jacob David came up from Kentucky. This would have been a cousin of my family, a first cousin. And my great-great-grandfather was a Jacob David, too. And this is what got me when I found the purchase by Jacob David. I thought, ha-ha, I found it, because what I'd been searching for was the Revolutionary War veteran. His father was Henry David. And it turned out, after doing more research, they were first cousins. They came here, settled 2 miles apart. Okay, there are 23 known burials, and 6 of those, the names are unknown. I think there's more in there based upon the spacing and the lay of the land. Primarily, they're smaller headstones. They're all tablets, whereas when we look at Ball later on, you'll see there are more extensive, bigger, more fancy headstones there. The biggest problem I had was most of the headstones were broken or laying down on the ground, as you can see from the picture that I'm passing around, okay? And the missing pieces to put that puzzle all back together. I think for a private, you know, on-the-farm kind of cemetery, with 23, it's pretty substantial in size. These are the family names that are in there. Of course, David. The bottom line is all of these are related, either by blood or by marriage. Here's the problem I have, is 500, when it meets there at 225 West, there's a sharp curve like this and it goes off. 500 originally went straight through down the gravel road past the house that's there, and then that road empties out into this field, and what had happened was there was a bridge across the creek. The bridge washed out 80 to 100 years ago, never got replaced, and so the road eventually became farmland. So I have to wait until the crops are out of the field, which is November, so I got to get in there before the bad weather hits, but once the crops are out. And you can see the cemetery. It's in the tree line way down there. Okay. All right, it has been registered with the Indiana DNR and their program. If you've never done one of these, it takes about $150, I think, is roughly. Mm-hmm. And they send you the sign, and then you have to figure out how you're going to mount it. But it is permanently marked. All right, this is not Catherine David. This is Elaine David, which is my wife. She came the first couple of years. Of note out of this, a couple of things. Number one, she's been married to me for 45 years, which is a surprise, especially since I proposed after 3 days. What the photograph is really trying to say is this is Catherine David. This is Jacob's wife, and her headstone and his headstone were laying flat on the ground. So it was a number of them had bases here, and so it was finding the right base, because it turned out each base was cut almost for the headstone exactly, so you can see there's not much room. And you can see there are a number of headstones here that are down. So that was the problem I was facing after you see that picture there. So I started clearing this cemetery, which is about 60 by 60 feet. And slowly over the years, I've gotten all the vegetation back. I just got one more last thing, is I've got some sort of plant that grows up about this high during the summer, and I want to try to see how I can eradicate that so that everything there is very low to the ground, like the Ball Cemetery. Okay, all right, so one of the other big tasks after I archived everything I had, and I have pictures here in this book if you want to see them. Everything I found, and that was my first year, was just taking pictures and trying to figure out what was to probe and dig. And of course, you know, if you're going to probe, you've got to do an application with DNR, and it's good for 1 year, and you can get renewals. But when you find something, my wife found this with a long, thin screwdriver, and then she said, okay, Joel, you can dig it out. It about killed me because it had sunk down in, and I think it was heading for the grave cavity, because it was about 9 inches down, and that's about a 35, 40-pound block. So by the time I got in digging it out, pulling it out, I was exhausted that day. Mm-hmm. Okay. So now, one of the big things in all these tablets and most of the headstones that we're dealing with in the 1800s are the biggest problem is when they start to tilt. Because as they tilt, it puts more stress on them. They tend to break. Okay. So if we're going to rebuild a cemetery and fix it up, whatever you're doing, you're probably leveling the stone, whether it's in a base or whether or not it's freestanding in the dirt. So the first thing is you've got to level it. If it's small enough, you can take the base out. You can level it, the dirt, pack it down, and then at the DNR courses that I took, they use a sand and small pebble mixture. And so you put a layer of that down and tamp it down, get it nice and tight. And it does quite a job because a lot of the early ones I've done over at the David Cemetery have shown absolutely no tilt. And everything I do, whether it's the base, the headstone itself, I have a little red level that I put on there and I try to get that bubble just exactly centered to minimize the impact of leaning. I don't know what they're going to look like in 75 years. In 75 years, I'm not going to be worrying about it, okay? It's going to be well past the time that I'm going to be here, but I've had good results so far. Okay, then I do it, clean up anything. A lot of these headstones had cement fixes, which didn't last. However, it always stuck to one side or the other, so I had to go back and clean off the cement, do a test fit to make sure it fit right, and see if there were any voids and whatnot that I had to fill in. Glue it, and what I use is a product that the monument companies use. It's called 10X, and you got to buy it from a mortuary or a monument supply company. Two quart cans, it's two part, one the resin and then the hardener. It's about $70, but you mix it up in a little red Solo plastic cup with look like oversized tongue depressors that you can get at your craft store. And then you put it on, you've got about 30 minutes, and then it's starting to dry. But it takes a number of hours to dry to where it will hold the weight. So you put it on there, and this is just a process. This is a board, a 1-inch wide board, not very thick, and the other side is a piece of angle iron covered in duct tape because for some reason the glue doesn't stick to duct tape. It really holds well on the stone, but if you get it on the boards, like when you squeeze it out, it doesn't lock that in. So the box says 12 hours to dry. I use 24, and in warmer weather it's quicker, in colder weather like right now it takes longer. Okay, and this is a picture I took the other day. Look at the picture I gave you and see the difference. My wife, when I sent her this the other day, she said, amazing, it doesn't look like anything. So you can see I have everything standing up. Now, one of the problems I have is, see these two right here? They broke off just below the name. So I have dates, I have stuff, but I can't find the top, so I don't know who they are. So one of the things I'm going to have to do is, I don't think I did as extensive probing job as I could have back in 2012. So I'm looking at next year getting another permit from DNR and going out there and being a lot more thorough to see if I can find anything.
Are the death dates Hmm? Are the death dates late enough that you could maybe...
On some they are. I've got one back in here that I just mounted. It's got the complete death date, age, all that stuff. And I think it's my great-great-grandmother. I'm not sure. Mm. So because it's right, because my...
Date and go to the courthouse. It was late enough that they would have records.
Well, it was 1853.
Oh.
That's the problem. A lot of these are just before the good records started. And my great-grandfather was born in 1852. By the 1860 census, she's not listed there. So the timing is right that, and this was his second wife anyway. His first wife was a Kiplinger who's buried out at East Hill with her family. And he had five children with her. And then she passed away in about 1848. And he married her, had one child shortly a year or so. She died. And so it's been a challenge finding this generation. And if I go back one more generation to his father, Henry, who was the Revolutionary War veteran, I'm trying to find the connection on paper so I can do my SAR. I got everything else I need but that one.
Oh.
And he's on a plaque down there in the basement of the courthouse that says Revolutionary War veterans buried in Rush County. Okay. Wow. All right. I'm going to go to Ball Cemetery. And I'm going to show you this one. Pass this around. This doesn't show everything, but it tends to show what it looked like. It was in better shape overall, but it seemed to have suffered some damage due to vandalism. The burials there are 1845 to 1921. It's located in Posey Township. You go out 400 north and you turn right on Benson Road. Benson Road is just past 450 West. There are 35 memorials listed in Find a Grave. Once again, I think there's more graves there than what's listed in Find a Grave. The property was first deeded for church use in 1830. More land was deeded in 1852 for burial grounds to the Balls Mill Methodist Episcopal Church. Now, there are different names. There's Ball Cemetery, Ball Church, Balls Mill, Carter's Society, Balls Chapel, but not a church. All this information I got out of the St. Paul's Methodist Church, out of one of their history documents. But you'll notice the first burial is 1845, but the land isn't deeded for burials until 1852. So what I think this was, there were several balls that were buried there. And they just made it official by giving it to the church. Okay, by 1899, it's deeded to an Emily Roberts in Marion County for $100. And I think that's when the Balls Church basically ended.
It was, and Emily was a ball before she married the Roberts.
Oh, okay.
That's her maiden name. It was Ball.
Yeah, okay. And I've tried to track down the records for the church, and there none seem to exist. The Methodist Church, which has a library, doesn't have it. And the best I can find is they thought that she got the records for the church.
That's what the family always assumed. And she was, I think she ties into the Abraham Lincoln Gary or whoever. They were like first cousins.
Oh, okay.
So between the two of them, we think that's where the records went.
But they're nowhere to be found.
No.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Because I'm assuming the records would have shown, you know, everybody that was buried there. Mm-hmm. And then we would have a better picture as to, is 35 the right number or not?
Probably tossed them when she died.
I think she ended up with them.
I don't think she had kids.
The best I've heard is that the
records went to Marion County with her and were never seen again.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
No one cared.
All right, so there's the background. Now, I think what we're going to see is when you go through this, the headstones here are a bit more substantial, bigger, ornate. They're not tablets, and I think that's because of the later date and all the farmers and the families were more affluent than in 1835 with the David Cemetery, which the county was really just getting on its feet, okay, and they didn't have the money. They could buy Ford tablets, and that was it. And besides, I don't know if the big fancy ones were really even available. All right, here's the family names that are in there. Does anybody know how to pronounce that third one, this one?
Brosius. I'm Brosius. Related to them, too. I had, my grandmother was Phoebe Brosius. Brosius.
And there's two Davids in there, which is how I got over to the Ball Cemetery and got started there. Once you get started. Now, Abigail Beard. The reason why I have this is because last year we found this. We were standing there, and there was just a little corner sticking out. And, I mean, it looked flat. And so I said, that's something. So we started pushing back the dirt and down about an inch. We didn't have to probe, so we weren't in trouble there. But we just pushed the dirt back about an inch or so, and this is the headstone that came out. And it had just fallen over. So if you know anybody that's looking for Abigail, I have probably the only picture, unless you want to go out there and take your own.
Never seen that.
I'm related to that. Joseph.
If you look on Find a Grave, it's like a picture of the dirt and the grass. There's no picture.
How are you documenting this stuff for yourself and other people's records?
Well, I normally send the pictures off to whoever owns the cemetery site on Find a Grave with the suggestion of, here's a picture. If you want to use it, highly recommend it. But when you don't own the site, you just can't force it in. You've got to send it to whoever owns it.
So
and they've got to accept it.
Unless a request comes up.
And here's another, you'll see in the pictures, a trademark. When I work on a headstone, I tend to leave a small artificial flower.
That's cool.
When I started, there were no flowers over there. And you'll see a picture later on.
That's nice.
That's changed. All right, this is Lulu Pearl Ball. She was, I think, a year and a half when she died. It was a tablet broken in half, laying on the ground. What you have to do is clean up where the split is to get rid of everything. So you got stone to stone. You put it on wax paper. The glue doesn't stick to wax paper. You get a nice test fit. You put in the glue. And it's using the tongue depressor sticks, and then I use what they call an acid brush, which is just a one-time use, small little brush, but it's good for working the glue into all the cracks and crevices. Okay, and then you push it together, clamp it down, wait 24 hours, and then put it back in the ground. All right, there were a number of bases that had to be repaired, and basically this was split in half across here. So what I did was I glued the two pieces in the right spot because I could see the outline of where it was, and then I filled in with cement the flat part at the bottom of the pocket and then built forms up for the side and filled those in, so basically it got repaired back. And this is the next step, to take the headstone, use the two-part epoxy glue to glue it in. Same thing, using the level to make sure it's all straight up and down and not side to side. Those are shims like you use for your windows and doors to hold it in place. You better shot at the repair of the base there on the front. And then you need to, when that's all dry and you remove the shims, you fill in to keep the water out of there so it doesn't freeze and break anything.
And what do you fill in with?
I'm using that cement. It doesn't really have any stress put on it. It just fills the void it's the best thing that I can think of right now for to keep the rain out, which is my whole goal. And then it looks like that when you're done, which looks a lot better. All right, this is Lydia Ball. This was the, she and her husband, she was the very last burial there.
That's her date of death isn't even on there.
Yeah. I'm sorry?
I don't think her date of death even got
described. Yes, you are correct. Her birth date's on there. Her husband's preceded her. His date of death is on there, but nobody went back.
And that's Charlie Ball's grandma and grandpa. Okay.
So anyway, this had been pushed over, and this is about an almost 1,200-pound block. I measured it out and did the calculations, and I figured it's right about 1,150, give or take a little bit. But how do you lift that baby up? All right. This is a tripod, and if you buy a commercial one, this one for a 2-ton is probably about $1,200 to $1,400. I found on the internet a gentleman up in Canada, by Quebec, that had built, had designed and built one that you could make yourself. Basically, for $100, he sold 6 brackets that are at the top and a plate with the hook so you can put your chain hoist on it that connects together to all those brackets. And then it cost me about $35 for the wood out of the lumber yard here and the bolts, and about $50 for the chain hoist to be able to lift that up, plus the straps. So for about $225, I built one that could take, he said 2 tons. It might, but they did a pretty good job with 1,000 pounds here.
That stone had been down for at least 40 years.
For 40 years? Well, last year, our last day here, my brother Mark from Houston was helping me. He wanted to do this one so bad. Mm-hmm. So bad. He says, we got to do it. He says, I don't care if it's 33 degrees, which it was. Mm-hmm. He said, we hooked it up and...
Fixed Lydia.
And this was the first one we lifted, so it took us a little practice to figure it all out. I'd seen it in the training, but I'd never really done one myself. Basically, you have 2 lifting straps. There's a loop on each end. You run the one loop through the other, and then you set it so you have one loop on each side. And then I call it, right here, this top one, the safety strap. And what it does is it keeps those lifting straps from shifting. If you didn't have that, you'd lift it up off the ground, it'd be off balance, and then it would fall over. Mm-hmm. So you hook that up and then make sure the tripod's spread out and got a good balance, and then you just lift it up. And what we do is we pick up the stone and move it right next to the base and then move the tripod so that it was centered over the base, lift the stone up again, and once you got it over the top of the base, it would slide over and then very gently bring it down so that it's right where you want it. So. All right. This is an example. This is a 5-piece stacked headstone, and we always put everything on the tarps to keep them clean, because that's one of the things we got to fight. So you take it apart, you put it in the right order, you mark which is the front, because nothing like having mm-hmm. it glued back together, and instead of the words mm-hmm. facing this way, all of a sudden it's facing this way. Poor form. So you level the base, clean it off, clean the sections between each section. And what we normally did was, for these, there's these little plastic shims that are about an inch by an inch, and we use a 1/16 inch thick, and we put a lot of these on there, like I think we put about 10, and then we put the glue in between the shims. The reason why we do that is, when the next stone compresses it, it doesn't compress it so thin that there's no holding power because the glue is too thin. It's, you know, 1/16 of an inch, pretty small, but it holds. And then we can just repeat the process, go to the top of this next piece, put the shims down, put the glue, put the next piece on, and it's just a building block, like Legos, I guess. And this is my brother Mark again. So he's leveled it. He's checked it with a level. He double checks each time to make sure it's level. He's got the shims and everything on here. It's hard to see. But he's ready to take this piece, which is the third one, and put it on top of that. And there's third and fourth level. And you can see the fifth level is still back on the tarp, ready to go. And that's what it looks like. Oops. That's what it looks like. Okay, and there were a number of these that smaller. I mean, this can be handled basically. You don't need a tripod because most of these pieces are about 70 to 55 pounds. And you can lift it off or lift it up, put it back in place because you're only moving like a couple of feet from that tarp. This was an obelisk that was broken. It's a ball. Here's Lulu. Remember again her? But this is the way it was. So we cleaned it off. We checked the level on the base. It was off just a hair, but it was within tolerance. Then we took this off with the tripod, glued it back down, and then got it ready the next day to put this into place with the tripod. And that's where it's glued. That's kind of like the same process. And remember I said making sure that it goes on the right way? Blue tape on one side saves you from making a mistake. And this is what it looks like today. Now, next year I've got to go back and double check and make sure all of these seams have been filled in good because I don't want water to get in there and freeze. But the other thing is it's tough to see, but right here on the back side, there is a big, giant chunk. It's about this high and about this big around that's missing that I've already started filling in with the two-part epoxy. Okay. The McFatridge stones. I'll pass this around if you want to take a look. These are kind of obvious. They're bigger. And there's Martha, Mom, George, Dad, and Francis, the son. They're all different. These two on the outside are very similar. This is an obelisk. But I want you to notice, these two were within level tolerances. This one was not, which presented a challenge because this is about a 300-pound base. What we did for Martha was we checked the level. We claim this is a piece here, and then it has a little cap that goes on top. Clean it, get ready to hoist it up, put the straps on the same way. Two lifting straps, a safety strap, walk it over and put it into place. And contrary to popular belief, these are not two homeless people I found. This is my older brother Mike, who lives in Abilene, Texas, and this is Mark. This is his first year. This is about his third or fourth.
Mm-hmm. When did you take these pictures?
When? Mm-hmm. These were taken this week.
This week.
We worked in the David Cemetery on Sunday, and then Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, we did all our work in the Ball Cemetery. Awesome. And we did a lot of work before it was cold. We wanted to beat the cold. And with three people, it worked. We got a lot done. And they just... We put it in place there and decided to take a picture. That's like our victory lap, so to speak, after the race. Okay, now, George's with the obelisk. Notice there's my little red level we're checking. This was leaning. What we did was we had to dig out on the back side all the way below, put a lifting strap underneath the back edge, lift it up, get it level. And then what we had was the sand and pebble mix, and we started cramming it in with our hands and small boards, and then we'd let the stone down and it sink. So we'd lift it back up and we'd shove some more in there. Then we got the bright idea, we'll lift it up just a little higher than it needs to be, give us more room, shove in more sand. We did that about 6 or 7 times, and finally when we lowered it, it didn't move. But we let it set overnight just to make sure, and the next morning the bubble was still where it was. So then we hoisted the lower part of the obelisk into place, glued it, let it set for a day. Because we wanted this solid, because we didn't want to put the top piece on and have the base start to rock or move around. So doing this one was about a 3-day process. And this is what all three of them look like now. Here's the cap on Martha. This is George. We put this back in place. This was lying on the ground between the two. And this one was laying over next to this base. And this is Francis, their son. And it looks a lot like Mom's, but it doesn't have the cap. Okay?
It never did.
It's carved, and it looks kind of like it. It's kind of like the cab, but it's carved right here. Mm-hmm. Now, there's some more back in here that last year, these smaller ones that were leaning, and one of the big problems is when they put these together and put them out 100 years ago, they didn't think of falling over or tilting. They were just stacked with no glue, no nothing. So after leaning for 80 or 90 years or somebody pushing on it, they could fall over. So we figure we've, over the last couple of years, we've done about 14 headstones, and we've got, like I said, 2 more laying over by a tree that need to be fixed. One will just go in straight. The other one needs to be glued together like Lulu's was and fixed and put in. And then I've got a number of footstones that are leaning way over. Those are easy to do. We'll do those next year. And then I've got a stack of footstones with about 7 or 8 of them that have just been all piled together. So I got to find a place for them. Look at the initials, see if I can find the headstone and put them. And then if they're just blanks, I'll look for graves that don't have a footstone and then rebury them, reset them up. And this is what it looks like today. And basically, we worked on this one here, which is a ball, and then there's a small daughter of Henry, I can't remember the mom's name, called Chessie, and we rebuilt that, so we did those two. There's Lydia's. There were 2 of these. These are balls. There were 2 of these. They look sort of like a stand with a, looks like a book, like a Bible that's open on the top. Those were put up, not by us, and this is the strange part. They were down, and somebody came along, and I was talking to a farmer who stopped by. He thinks it was the 4-H group.
I never could find out who. Somebody started some restoration there about 5 years ago, and I was never able to find out who it was.
Well, I have a picture where they're down.
Yeah, I do too.
And then when I took the picture for here, I go, wait a minute. I don't remember doing that. Okay. These are those 2 small ones. There's the obelisk. Here's the McFatridge over here. The 2 Davids are hiding right back there. And then a bunch here. So we think, guessing that, and looking at it, there were about 14 that we did out of the 35. And there's still some more work to do. But
surprisingly, 25 years ago, though, that cemetery, you couldn't even see the stones for all the briar thorns. It was so overgrown.
There's a bunch of poison.
I've never seen a cemetery so overgrown.
Poison ivy out there too, because I went out there and it was all overgrown.
Yeah, when I was there, you couldn't even see the stones for the brush.
Well, now when I talked to the township supervisor a couple of years ago, because I always go in and I always get permission, written permission, to do any work, in case there's ever a question. And she said she paid a Boy Scout troop once or twice during the summer to mow this down.
It was a mess. Right. I mean, it was thorns.
Probably the same ones over by the pool.
I have one more of these I want to pass around. A story I want to tell of my brother Mark from last year. This is just as we were finding Abigail's headstone. This is the DNR conservation officer that drove up. And one of the things on their plate is these rural cemeteries and vandalism and keeping an eye on them. Okay, and especially since DNR runs the cemetery preservation program. Okay, so I'm standing there working, and that's my brother Mark with the orange hat and the shovel. And we had just found it, so he's kind of clearing the dirt away from it. And one of the farmers, local farmers, had stopped by. Well, I see this big green pickup truck roll in, and I know what it is. Mm-hmm. And the green uniform starts walking across. And the conservation officer, nice guy, but he kind of says, "Hey, guys, how's it going? What you up to?" And my brother, who can be a little brain dead sometimes, without looking to see who it is, he goes, "Oh, we're digging for buried treasure." I'm going,
No, not
to the audience. Oh, God.
All times.
So, anyway, so the farmer there, I'm trying to remember his name. If you saw his face there, hard to tell from the back of his head. Talked to him and had met him before and said, "Hey, you know, they're doing this." I did have an email from the township supervisor saying I'm authorized to do work there. Whew, I thought I was going to have to get it and explain it. But this is basically where we're at. Most of them are up, except those two, and there's some cleanup with the smaller ones. But another year or two, and they're going to be done. The one on the other side is Chessie, that small one. It's another one that died like Lulu at about a year and a half old. So I think that's all 32, and that's where we're at.
Thank you so much. Well,
thank you
for the presentation and for what you do. I mean, I'm so happy that you've restored so much.
Fantastic work.
We were having a discussion earlier, and you were talking about how do we get this, you know, keep up with all this. I know you've used scout groups. Scouting, about 2 years ago, started a genealogy merit badge.
I did not know that. Did you guys?
And you would be excellent counselors. I don't know how many scout troops there are, but you'd be getting, let's say, 13, 14-year-old kids to do the merit badge. You might be able to find something in the requirements where you could say, like, go out and do some service work, maybe do some mowing the grass, doing just a simple stuff. A lot of this.
One thing, that's a big project, but what he's talking about is just a merit badge.
Right. But you could pique their interest.
But they've had that for a long time.
Not necessarily.
Genealogy? I thought it was just a couple of years ago.
My son's 40, and he did it.
He did it? Well, they have hidden that one because I've been a long time scouter, and I didn't know until a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
So thank you for that information. But I would do that, and they all need service hours for their advancement.
Well, even 4-H, you know, if a 4-H group went in and started some restoration, right, there's some interest we've missed out on.
Charlie Isaacs, when he was still a clubmaster, used to have his troops go out and clean up cemeteries.
But that, like I said, and if you had somebody that knew the process, some of this stuff, like the smaller things like the tablets and the footstones, is basically a shovel.
Yeah.
And that would help filling dirt, making sure there's dirt around the bases so they don't start to lean. A lot of that stuff they could do. Things like the big Lydia ball is something I would keep them away from. Yeah. Anything lifting with a tripod, probably not.
Yeah.
Unless you had a lot of adults that knew what they were doing and the kids were just kind of watching.
We did a day of caring several years ago in Henry County. We've done it for 20-some years, but we always do a big cemetery project. And this particular year, we had several guys from the GEO group that were inmates, but they were all brick masons, and they had experience with masonry. Mm-hmm. that was a good example. Three of these guys would have walked over and picked her stone up and set it there. And I'm like, oh my Lord. We did an entire cemetery. It was that Caddis Ranch in one day. Because and then I couldn't get these guys again because they stayed on lockdown. But that was a wonderful resource.
I don't know if anybody's interested, but this is the piece about the Carter's Balls Chapel.
I have that.
That you have that? If anybody wants to read it.
I don't know that I had pictures.
It was, I found it in, I guess St. Paul's had like their 150th a few years back, and they wrote up a historical history of the church, and this was in that document. Evidently, maybe they might have been kind of like the mothership for them.
They came from Pennsylvania. But on the other side of the street, just down a little bit north of there, you can see a lot of foundations from the cabins and stuff across the street from the cemetery. On the other side of the river, Wolf Creek.
Oh, where was the church? I found a foundation.
The church was there, too.
On the other side of the creek?
On the other side of the creek.
Huh. I'll have to check that out.
On the other side of, on the other side of the street.
On the other side of the creek? The other side of the road is right down to the river.
Yeah.
And it floods. I did find a foundation. That's Benson Road. And if you go to the cemetery from 400, behind you about 75 yards is a foundation. Looks like a small cabin. Mm-hmm. And there's a pipe coming out of the ground, which is probably a well. That's what?
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I didn't know. But you think the church foundation is on the other side of the bridge?
Yes.
I'm going to make a stop by there on my way out of town.
I haven't been by there in a long time. I took my dad and his cousin, and they're in their 80s. That was a field day trip for us, I think 2 years ago. And that was when I noticed there had been somebody doing some restoration work then, because I was shocked.
Yeah, the only request I have that I'm looking for is that Henry David, who died in 1844, was the Revolutionary War veteran. If you run across anything written that links him to his son, Jacob, I would be eternally grateful. I can't find anything.
Can't find that link.
When I was doing research for you to be coming, I put some things on our Facebook page. And one of the things is about the church being torn down. And it named the person who lived there
at
the time.
And I had never seen that.
So I don't know if that would help.
Sure. If you can send that to me. Is it on the website?
It's on our Facebook page.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know about that.
You don't use Facebook or just, okay.
Can you somehow copy it and send it to me?
Sure.
And I think you've got my address because I get the emails.
Yep.
I would appreciate that.
It's just a little blurb thing.
But I've never seen it.
So, that's all I have.
Thank you, Joel. Yeah, that was interesting. And you've done a lot of hard work there, obviously.
Put a lot of time in, I'm sure.
A lot of time and expense.
My wife keeps going, how long are we going to do this? I said, till we're done. And we all know,
you're never done.
Yeah, I think with the Ball Cemetery, somebody will pick up the load there as far as taking care of it after I quit. But that's the one thing that worries me is the David one.
Such bad shit.
I don't have anybody in my family that's interested in that.